What's up, guys? Back for another episode. This is Chris Mead, your host of My Biggest Lessons. I'm here with Kale Swartz. From Bird Dogs. What's up, brother?
What's up, dude? How are we doing?
Good. We had a good night last night.
A good night. Still feeling it a little bit this morning.
A little heavy drinking.
Yeah, heavy. Not enough food in the stomach. But it was good. Yeah, it was so fun.
The food was there. It was on us to not eat it.
Yeah, too much good conversation going on.
A lot of good. We met a lot of good people last night.
Yeah,
it was awesome. We had about 40, 45 people packed into this Soho, pretty swanky place.
Yeah, it was good. I'd never been there. It was good, though. Good area, good spot, good vibes.
A lot of creative. We met some guy, we're just talking about it, 13 locations, bars. He owns the hottest New York City nightclubs.
I know, dude.
Founder of Solidcore there. Some crazy talent. Like, I think Aaron said $1 billion in that room last night of founders and marketers.
That's awesome.
Kind of sick.
Yeah, that was sick.
We make a little small dent.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We all make our, we have our piece of the pie.
So we then linked in homies for a bit.
Yeah.
Big supporter of Bird Dogs. Absolutely love it. Walk me through that, right? So you're the first employee. And for those that don't know what Bird Dogs are, walk us through it. What is it?
Yeah, so Bird Dogs, originally we were, the idea was basically brought about because there was a really awesome product that exists out there. And that was just like high athleisure for guys. So super nice quality gym shorts that, you know, were new to the scene. So like not your Nikes, not your Adidas, your like crappy mesh shorts that like most guys were still wearing their shorts from high school gym class.
Yeah.
And then, you know, companies like Lululemon were coming out there and making just incredibly high quality men's products.
Yep.
And guys were buying them like crazy. Like it was sort of this new age, like guys starting to spend money on athleisure. And we kind of saw that and said, okay, this is awesome, but this is a female brand. Like it's a yoga brand. Like every single photo on the website, you know, that you know, walk into a store, it's like, this isn't for a dude, not for a guy. And then there are other brands that were launching out there that some like Chubbies and stuff like that, where for the first time ever, you know, we were seeing marketers and companies, you know, market towards men and speak to men the way two men speak to one another. And we saw Chubbies and, you know, like it's like hats off to them because they're the reason that like, you know, Bird Dogs exist.
Yeah.
But you know, we bought their products, we all kind of wore it. And, you know, my founder, Peter Baldwin, was like, this product sucks. Like this brand is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not super hot six pack dudes.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's
the average man.
Yeah.
It's the average guy.
It's not fake life. It's just like guys that you'd be like watching football with.
Exactly.
And so it was like, all right, I'm going to do Lululemon and Chubbies.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a product that is, you know, super, super high quality, the best possible on the market. And I'm going to sell it directly to men and speak to men the way, you know, men speak to one another. And so that's kind of how the idea came about. And since then, it's just grown like crazy. Like we set out to be gym shorts. What happened was guys started wearing them all the time on dates, you know, out to eat, going out. It was like, these weren't gym shorts. These were like the shorts I'm wearing 24/7, the most comfortable thing I've ever worn.
Where?
I'm like, holy crap, we're onto something. We convince guys to wear gym shorts out to dinner, like on a date. Like it's, oh my God. So since then it's been quite a wild ride, but we've moved from gym shorts to bathing suits, to chino pants, to joggers, to sweatpants. And like, you know, we're right now trying to take over your bottom half. So it's been pretty epic.
It's amazing, dude. I love it. Like when I got my first pair, you sent me the first pair.
Yeah.
Dude, I wear them three times a week. No questions asked. Same khaki pair of shorts. Like they're comfortable. They get me on by a date. Like I could wear them to the gym. I wear them to a date. I could take them anywhere. And going back to the Chubbies, like that was the first e-commerce brand I ever bought.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember having the short shorts. And you got this big like wedgie with your boxers.
Yeah.
They don't have the built-in underwear.
Yeah.
So like they look cool, but like,
yeah,
got a big diaper bug.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I wore them because I thought Chubbies itself as a brand was super
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah, it was cool. It was like this, you know, modern dude. And what felt good about it is for the first time ever, it was like an internet company that, as a guy, you kind of felt like, you know, those are like, that's me,
yeah,
kind of thing. But, you know, obviously Chubbies has done a lot since then and are making some great products. But that core, like Chubbies cotton short that everyone bought, like the USA flag ones.
Exactly.
Like they weren't a great short. And so, yeah, that was kind of what catalyzed Bird Dogs. And I think what's interesting about Peter, our founder, and, you know, the rest of the crew we've kind of like assembled is we take a lot of pride in like believing and kind of like staying true to the fact that like we're not, you know, we're not building these products for any other reason. We're really just trying to like build a voice and a brand and not accumulate customers, but accumulate like friends and fans. And I think that's like kind of what sets Bird Dogs apart is like, we're so true to ourselves in our, you know, in our voice and our ads and our marketing and just kind of everything we do. And so that's kind of like what has kind of like pioneered us and like driven us to like where we are right now.
No, that resonates. Like one of my homies came out to San Diego when I was living out there. I hadn't seen him in 5 years. He shows up, big ass beard, but he had the Bird Dogs on. Yeah. It was like our secret between us. I was like, oh shit, you're wearing Bird Dogs too. And I had mine on.
Yeah.
It just felt cool. I mean, speaking of building a brand, like your stuff is raunchy, right? There's like, some, even on the order confirmation email, I remember the Mark Cuban thing you guys had.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. Like, is there a line in the sand that you guys won't cross? Like, there's got to been backlash. There has to been backlash.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. All the time. I was talking to Kenny about this last night. Kenny Flowers, who, you know, obviously, awesome dude. But like, we have kind of this like line drawn between our customers. It's like one guy is the ultimate Bird Dogs fan. Yep. And that guy wants to show and tell everyone he's wearing Bird Dogs. And then there's the other guy who's like, I only wear these because the product's so good. I hate your brand. I buy these in spite of your brand. Like, and it's like, all right, dude, gotcha. Like we got you. Like obviously like if you hate us so much, you're not going to spend $70 on gym shorts. Like, that's a lot of money to spend on gym shorts. So it's funny. It's just one of those things where, you know, we have a voice and like
it's so damn good.
It bugs people. It bugs people sometimes. It makes you laugh sometimes. But at the end of the day, like what I think is most important is like, you're just remembered. Like, you know, we like people know us and we have like high brand recognition because like we have such a strong voice and such a strong brand.
Has there ever been anything that came out and you're like your founder, you were like, we can't say that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's always times, especially in like the world we live in, like especially as like stuff's changing and, you know, politics and culture changing and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. It's not for you, but yeah, I mean, I'll give you a good example. It's like we do this all the time, but it's like a carousel Instagram ad and it's like a lifestyle product shot and it has just a quote like overlaid on top of it. And we mess around heavy with the quotes. Like we do like half real, half fake.
Okay.
So one will be like, you know, winner men's best training shorts, you know, Men's Health magazine, which, you know, happened. Yeah. The next one will be a quote from John, who's a made up name, and it'll say, these got rid of the house ghosts in my house or something like that. All right. And then, so in one of them we had like a funny quote and then it wrote, some guy with a peanut allergy. And we had peanut allergy Twitter go off on us. They were like, we had doctors tweeting at us. We had angry moms, people being like, peanut allergies are not something to be made fun of. Like, Jesus, this is such a serious situation. Like, X amount of people die every year. And like, we have like blue check mark doctors tweeting at us on Twitter. And we're like, oh my God, peanut allergies. Like, and so then it's like, all right, well, what can we do? Can we not do? So it's just funny. Like everything, there are different things that rub people the wrong way, but like we've certainly like, we're adapting and changing over time, but I wouldn't say we're like toning anything back.
Yeah.
Like we're still us. We're still trying to like be that like brand that like you'll remember. You know, like one of the coolest things I ever heard was like some guy, we were like, we started like running like national TV ads.
Yeah.
And one guy who was like, we spoke to was kind of like, what's our goal here? Like, are we trying to sell? Are we trying to do anything? Right, and it's like, no, he's like, no, what you want to do is you want to have a guy watch that TV ad and go, what did I just watch? Yeah. Google you.
Yeah.
Put his phone back in his pocket. And like, he was like, that's a huge win.
Yeah.
Like just be remembered. So we've kind of taken that to heart. And it's like everything we do now is like, we want, at the end of the day, we don't really care if you know what we sell.
Yeah.
We just want you to be like, oh my God, I know exactly what that is. Or like, I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is that? I want to learn more.
Interesting perspective though, right? Because at the end of the day, the business needs to survive and make money.
Yeah.
And if you're getting advice from people that say, as long as you're being remembered or they Google you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like,
no, totally.
That's bullshit, right? Like, you need money.
Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. Like, it's funny. It's like, we have this like mentality and it's sometimes just so incredibly stupid, but like, it's like, we tell people to not buy our shorts and then they'll buy our shorts.
Yeah.
It's like, our shorts suck. Don't buy them. Or like, we're sold out. Here's a link to Lululemon. And it's like, it's like, oh my God,
that's
those
awesome.
Guys are like, yeah, it's kind of wild,
it's
but
amazing.
Like, you almost get like some sort of like respect out of it. Absolutely. Maybe. I don't know.
And once you get somebody once, you're like, I am so excited to go to the shop later today.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
I'm so hyped, but like, no, once guys you have somebody once, you, the LTV on the business must be insane.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Like guys, they're in a lot of pairs. I mean, like you just said, if you're wearing them 3 days a week, like you're gonna get another.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't even know what I mean, I have infinity pairs of Bird Dogs, but like, I don't know what I would do. Like, I would need seven, I think.
Yeah.
If I wasn't the person who made them. You know?
How's that? So head of product right now, obviously a lot of different hats. Like, what is, like for us, we have a head of product. He creates, let's call it 6 or 7 backyard games a year.
Sure.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine the amount of SKUs that you guys are putting out. Like,
oh my God.
What's a day in the life look like for head of product?
A day in the life is, you know, it's always changing. But right now it's a lot of launching new products. So
no shit.
Yeah, obviously. So like, you know, basically like we just have a huge whiteboard in the office and it's like red is urgent stuff. Like yellow is semi-urgent and then green's like if it doesn't get done, no big deal.
Yeah.
We're basically going through like a whole refresh audit of our current products and just seeing how we can improve on all of our core and hero products. So right now I'm like, you know, digging through new fabrics, digging through new trims, buttons, going through a bunch of different fit styles, like doing in-person fittings with customers, you know, for 4 hours a day. And just trying to basically like improve what we already have out there. And then at the same time, working on what's next. So sitting in a Illustrator file, drawing and designing. We're coming out with boxer briefs soon. Working on those. And then also just trying to like find and hire some people. Cause I mean, you know, this best, like scaling business, you're all wearing a bunch of hats.
Exactly.
You're all not getting a lot of sleep. So you got to add more players to the team. So also working on hiring, for the product team and just Bird Dogs in general.
What's like the turnaround time? So you think of a cool idea, come out with a pair of joggers right tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So we're pretty quick. Just cause we have to be like most apparel and fashion companies are like, you know, think about seasons and ahead. We are not like that at all. It's like, we have an idea and we sprint to get it out there as fast as we can so we can get it in the hands of customers and test it. So from like idea to finish, it's probably around 8 to 9 months.
Okay.
Which so, you know, like we're like, okay, we're making boxer briefs and then 9 months later they hit our warehouse.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. Takes time.
Yeah. It takes a little bit of time, but not, I mean, some big brands are planning 3-4 years out, you know?
Yeah,
so like,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, with that 8 to 9 month rush and sprint, there's got to been some issues with inventory, especially with all the SKUs.
Walk me
through that. Like, what's been the maturation process and like, where are you guys at dealing with right now?
Yeah. So, like probably you guys, I mean, like anyone else, it's like we've gone through so many, peak seasons with nothing. Like with no inventory, we sell out in June, July, go through our summer, nothing, pre-sales, you know, guys are buying shorts 4 months that are 4 months away. And it's just a nightmare. So, and also not only that, but we have, you know, 25 pairs of shorts, like different like colors and stuff like that. Colors of pants, colors of joggers. The shorts come in a short inseam, a regular inseam, a long inseam. So the SKUs, it's a nightmare. Like I'm so jealous that it's like, I mean, you guys have a bunch more SKUs now, but like at the beginning, it was just like
just one.
One.
Yeah, that's
it. Like, oh my God, that would be a dream. But I mean, it's just such a weird world out there that, you know, like some, like one summer we're going 500%. And then, you know, there are months where, you know, you go down or you stay flat or you go 30%. So, I mean, predicting demand like anything else in forecasting is the most difficult thing we have on our plate. And like you guys, we're bootstrapped. We don't have a huge bank. Like our bank account is not as big as a lot of other players in the game. So if we over forecast too much, like totally, we sink the company, like 100%. And it happens time and again, because we either we try not to under deliver, but you know, we've learned as time goes on, it's better to be chasing than it is to be like screwed.
Yeah.
So yeah, there've been, you know, before we went on Shark Tank, we were told, you know, you guys are going to absolutely blow up, like get as much shorts as you can. And we almost sunk the business. Cause it was like, oh my God, the pop was just not what we were expected. Really? It was. Okay. So I was like, oh my God, begging our suppliers to hold as much inventory as they could, stop cutting everything, stop production. Luckily we had a great relationship with them. So, it's a constant battle, man. It's a constant battle. So, yeah, forecasting is, you know, a nightmare, and just especially for a scaling company. And you know, our deltas are big now too. Yeah. Like if we forecast 30% growth and we do zero, it's like 100,000 pairs of shorts.
Yeah.
That's
the biggest thing we struggle with too, dude. It's like you know it better than anybody. But like you forecast earlier this year and back in like May, we went back, we cut off all our we had forecasted like the craziest growth ever.
Yeah.
Looked ourselves in the mirror like, dude, we're only lying to ourselves and now we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah.
Because now we got $400,000 worth of extra inventory that we do not need.
Yeah.
That could be going to payroll, could be going to my pocket, could be paying off debt.
Right? Yeah. Like, you just don't want it to be sitting there. And then, yeah, I mean, to me, we're learning our lesson again this year, which is like, you know, we went heavy. Yeah. We'll be fine, but
you gotta have inventory.
You gotta believe in yourself. And
exactly.
Like, you don't want to, but we are eating a little bit of humble pie right now.
Yeah.
You know? But like anything else, like these are the times that you kind of have to buckle in. Like, I mean, this week has been like crazy, crazy nightmare, horrible, like calls in the middle of the night with the factory being like, oh God, guys, we gotta cut. And it's hard because you're like, you know, they lined up people's jobs. Like there's a lot of people who rely on these lines and production and all that kind of stuff. So it's a constant battle, but you know, these are the times that suck, but also these are the times that you got to get through and it just makes you better. So
100%.
Yeah.
Every day. Is there anything you're doing with the factories? Like, so for us, right, we have been we're in a similar situation right now, right? I have probably $200,000, $300,000 worth of inventory.
That you don't need this year.
That I don't need.
Yeah.
That's sitting at a warehouse in China.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting blown up on WhatsApp being like, when are you going to ship this?
You don't
shit,
even
right?
want to see my WhatsApp.
I can imagine. So like for us, like we'll give them, I don't know, let's call it, we'll try to give them a 5% down payment to hold it or be a storage fee, because them holding it in China is going to be much more affordable than my 3PL or warehouse holding it. Plus paying the freight for it, right?
Yeah.
So like, is there any tips that you've learned over the time to kind of help ease that tension?
Yeah, I mean, and this is exactly what we're doing right now. It's like figuring out, okay, how are we gonna handle this inventory? What are our scenarios we're gonna work with?
Yeah.
You know, here's what we, like, we're giving them like, here's exactly what we can commit to, like for sure, no doubt.
Yep.
Then it's like, this is what's probably gonna happen, but just like, hold on guys. And then it's like, you know, this is a good case, but possible too. And it's like, you know, three views of the picture. But for us, it's like, you know, paying for the raw materials, having them sit there, you know, working on your net 30, and just, you know, the relationship is just so important. And luckily for us and for you guys too, it's like, these will get purchased by us.
Exactly.
Like 100%.
It's
just about the timing. So
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, no advice really. It's just like, you know, trying to don't let them start making it and, you know, pay for raw materials and, you know, store it in a place that like, it's going to be safe.
And I think being realistic.
Yeah, totally.
As a founder, there's nothing worse than looking at the numbers than they're not as sexy as they were a year ago or two years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But math doesn't lie. The numbers don't lie. Like you need to be realistic because you will hurt yourself and destroy your company if you're not realistic and you're starting putting these purchasing plans in place.
Yeah. I mean, just like what's going on right now, no one could expect, right? So it's like, well, I guess you could last year, but like, it's crazy. Cause you just like, you also just never know when things are going to pop.
Yeah.
Like for us, it's like, you know, we throw one good creative out there and it's like, holy crap, our whole business
company's
is running.
We're back, baby.
Yeah. And then everyone's, you know, we're ordering steak for dinner and all that kind of stuff. And then it's like, And then you get to the dog days where you're like, all right, guys, like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah,
maybe no bread.
The coffees are on the personal card.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we go through ebbs and flows. I mean, when Facebook broke last summer, like we were working on Saturdays. Like it was like 6 days a week, guys. Like we're coming in, we're fixing this, this thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's a grind. It's a lifestyle, obviously, that you know as much as I do. Like it just, it's not just a job.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. Dude. It's really
like
fun.
You're not even working sometimes.
Yeah, like, yeah. And then there's sometimes you're like, what am I doing? Yeah. So but you buy in, and that's like, you know, that's
a culture.
That's a culture. That's being an entrepreneur. That's being a part of this like this lifestyle. So
dude, one of our biggest last year, we were trying to become mature. And so we put an inventory forecast out for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we're like, this is what we're going to buy over the next 6 months. And we gave it to China, being like, hey, just a heads up, like get you pumped, get you optimistic.
Yeah.
They somehow misinterpreted the words and they started making that inventory.
Oh my God.
So they made 6 months of material instead of just taking the, hey, this is a forecast.
Yeah,
this is what we're
prepared.
Thinking. Hey, we're getting you excited, right?
There's no a lot purchase
more,
orders placed.
No, there's just more money coming in the pipe. Just don't, they started making this shit without us knowing. And then they hit us back like 30 days later being like, yo, all your shit's ready to ship. We're like, what are you talking about?
Oh my God.
It's like hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Like we do need it eventually, but now it's like, all right, there's no more room in the factory where they're storing this stuff. Like, just insane.
Bro. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude, it's tough. I mean, it's like what... I wish someone would just figure it out for me. I wish there was like, I remember I like posted on LinkedIn. I was like, we're trying to like revamp forecasting source or forecasting. Does anyone have any like softwares they use? And you were like, you guys don't just like plug random numbers in Excel.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, God, dude, at this point, it's like, I should start using a pen and paper, pencil and paper. Bro,
that's what we used to use.
Yeah.
For real, dude.
I know.
I mean, doing TV ads now, working or... Are you how?
It's funny, dude. TV's weird. It's a weird space. It works sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do our best to attribute it. It's just really hard to figure out, like, how you're going to, like, where are these visitors coming from? But, I mean, we just go through. It's like, okay, when did this air?
Yep.
What's traffic delta?
Is it local TV or is it, like?
We do national.
Okay,
national. So it's like, TV. Yeah, linear national TV. So
have you done connected with, like, Hulu and all that yet?
Yeah, we did Hulu. We ran a test on Hulu. It's just so expensive.
Yeah.
And so until we kind of, like, have the right creatives in place, we're just, like, kind of, like, staying away.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it's just this kind of same bread and butter as usual. A lot of direct mail, tons of podcasts.
Direct mail works.
Yeah, yeah, direct mail does great. Podcast has always crushed.
Really? Okay.
And
that's actually a great time for a word from our sponsor.
Yeah.
Our top performing ads over at CrossNet have 150 to 2,000 comments within the first 24 hours. We use Gorgeous to literally go line by line and reply back to every single person. You want to make them feel heard, you want to give them a comment back, and you may have a ton of questions that need to be answered. Does the game fit up in my backyard? Does it take up too much space? Is it portable? Those are all things we have live chat customer service agents going 24/7 around the clock within Gorgeous replying back. And the coolest thing about it is if I'm spending $10 or $15 on a customer service agent, I can see how much money I'm making within Gorgeous to quantify if that hire is worth it and if I scale it up. So thank you, Gorgeous, for creating the best customer service app I've ever used. That's right. What kind of podcast do you sponsor?
Pretty much anything you probably listen to.
Okay.
Like tons of like great relationship with Barstool.
Beautiful.
A lot of comedians we work with. I'm trying to think, like Tim Dillon.
Oh, sweet.
We worked with Theo Vaughn in the past, Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura, like all those guys. They're huge fans of Bird Dog. So it's an easy product to put on a podcast because especially if it's a male host, it's just because like you give it to them and they've So they're like, it's so easy for them to talk about it. The ad reads are always super authentic.
That's great.
They're just like real genuine endorsements. We kind of use podcasts as our like, we call it like a second punch. It's like, this is like the validation to a customer who's seen Bird Dogs before that they're actually like good and they're not like a joke fake company.
Yeah.
We ran into that problem. It was like, why don't you buy Bird Dogs? Like, I didn't even know that was a real company. Like, I just thought they post memes on Instagram.
Funny.
But podcast has been good.
Pornhub, Grindr, what about that?
Yeah, so nothing's off the table, right?
Yeah.
Especially like when something stops working. So we looked into some we looked into Pornhub, we looked into Grindr, we looked into Tinder, all those places. And I mean, some cheap CPMs, dude, for sure. But as we were just talking about, like, you know, to my assumption is, like, if you're, you know, on Grindr and Pornhub or Tinder, you kind of have
your attention elsewhere.
Yeah, you have alternate intentions going on. So maybe not the best place to buy shorts and sell shorts.
In the early days, we made made fake Tinder accounts for CrossNet. And it would just be a volleyball net, right?
you just swipe.
They just
I love that.
They took it down. We'd keep putting it back up. But yeah, it would just be like, oh, crap. What the fuck? I mean, I'm not sure how much impact it had on the business, but it felt good in the moment.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Yeah, I like that.
We reached out to Pornhub. They wanted like 50 cents or a dollar a click, which was a little bit high for us. Mm-hmm. And it's also for our brand, like who I am as a person versus the company that I have.
Totally.
I'd love to work for Bird Dogs, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Selling volleyball nets to Mormon church camps, right?
Totally. So it's like, yeah, it's way different. And that's why I think I like get lost in the sauce sometimes in like my business, in our business, just because it's just like, this is me.
Yeah.
Like, everything right? I'm doing it because I like it.
Exactly.
Like, these boxer briefs we made are like, I made all decisions because it felt really good on my body. And, you know, the jokes we tell in our ads is the same jokes we're telling in person. So
at the office, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's tough, dude.
It's different.
It's tough building like a fine line for like where
you put your personality in.
Dude, yeah. And it's been the blessing of building the Chris Mead personal brand versus the CrossNet brand. Because at CrossNet, we have three personas. We have the moms, we have the kids, and then we have like the gym teachers, right? Or buyers. And like, I can't be sending we're trying to build out different like pockets where moms will only see this and kids will only see that.
But yeah.
Like, it's a tough level to get that sophisticated.
Yeah, it's very granular. Yeah. I mean, we do that too. We just separate like genders with some stuff, but really everything's to everyone.
When you think about genders, obviously Bird Dog's male brand. Has there been conversations like, do we take this to women? Are there's raunchy women out there, right? Or is it not even worth the focus?
It's not worth the focus right now. I mean, you know, right now, I mean, it's such like a Bill Belichick answer, but like right now we're focused on focused on Cincinnati men. we're on to Cincinnati. But like, no, I mean, never say never. Like,
yeah, of course.
One of the things, like, you know, like everyone knows it, but like nothing is off the table ever.
Absolutely.
For right now, it's just, guys, we want to take over your closet. So like we're finishing bottoms. We're going to get to tops.
Yep.
Who knows? Shoes, roller skates, umbrellas, you know, no one knows, right?
Exactly.
So for now, it's guys, and that's like who we are. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I love it. You look back a few years ago. What would you tell yourself? What would you do differently?
God. That's a great question. You know, not much. Aside from like eating that humble pie is super important when it comes to forecasting and inventory. But other than that, it's just like every time especially when it comes to like our brand itself, like, we've done just such a good job of like never questioning, you know, or like kind of like selling out or like, you know, making true basic ads, like just continuing to tell us like our goal, no matter what creative goes out there, there needs to be, you know, us in that creative. And so for me, it's just like, you know, just sticking to that and never straying away from the fact that like, hey, this is our brand. This is who we are. You're going to remember us whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
That's supposed to be awesome, my last question, but I'm actually intrigued. So what's the creative team look like designing that stuff? Like, is it an in-house? Is it an agency? Who's building
it? Bird Dog's business model is no agencies.
Love it.
So everything's in-house. We have like the most, and I'm a part of it less these days, but still a little bit now. Like the whole team is the creative team, but we have a group of, we just had a new guy added on this week, but it's like four or five people, you know, writing, storyboarding, shooting, directing, acting,
so sick.
The works. Yeah. So, everything's in house. That's why sometimes it looks like, a bunch of idiots who don't know how to use a camera made it. Cause a bunch of idiots who don't know how to use a camera did make
it. Authentic. I love it.
So yeah. And dude, sometimes the ones that, you know, took us 5 minutes worked the best.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, our creative team is awesome, dude. They're like the funniest, goofiest guys. Like just so
having fun with it, dude. When you have a brand like that, how can you not have fun with it?
Yeah, dude. We just like, if it makes us laugh, we hope it makes
somebody
else laugh. So.
If not, fuck off.
Yeah. If not, fuck you. Don't buy our shorts.
Love it, dude.
But yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, you buy them or you don't buy them. If you don't buy them, that's fine. Go somewhere else.
Tough luck.
Yeah. This is our brand.
Where's the Bird Dog shop? Where are we going this afternoon?
Yeah. So we're in Midtown, Madison and 53rd. Bird Dog's flagship store.
Open
dude.
7 days a week, 5 days a week?
7 days a week.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's awesome. Free beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Free beer, free coffee. That's good. I think there's snacks in the back if you can get through. But yeah, it's a good spot.
Let's go.
Yeah. And we don't check IDs. So.
Love that, dude. All right, bro. Thank you so much.
No worries.
We'll talk soon. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
dude. Awesome.
It was amazing.
See ya.
So I started my biggest lessons because we need to share more of the learnings, more of the ups, more of the mistakes. Everybody's flexing on Twitter and Instagram about their new Rolls Royce or their Bentleys, right? That's not real life. We're grinding. We're up crying late at night. How are we going to pay our employees? How are we going to make payroll, right? Those are real life stories that are being shared here. If you enjoyed that, check out our podcast now at Apple. If you enjoyed that, there's more episodes waiting for you over at Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.